Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC, and we're taking the opportunity during the pledge drive to look ahead to the Olympic Games this summer in London and talk to some hometown favorites who are competing for spots on the U.S. team. Yesterday, we spoke with Manhattanite Delilah DeCrescenzo, and today we'll hear from the Bronx's own John Orozco. He's been called the Michael Jordan of gymnastics, and he's back in town from the Olympic Training Center in Colorado to compete in the AT&T American Cup at Madison Square Garden this weekend, and so a chance to visit family and the gym in Chappaqua where he trained during high school. Welcome to WNYC, John Orozco. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So how did you find out that gymnastics was your sport? How young were you?
I was 8 years old when my father first introduced me to gymnastics. And, you know, the minute I stepped into the gym, I really loved it. And I knew that I wanted to do it for the rest of my life because I love the sport and I love the challenge and everything that comes with it.
I've read that your favorite event is high bar because you feel like you're flying. Can you describe the feeling?
You know, it's an adrenaline rush, especially when you're in competition and you're doing all your release moves, you're letting go of the bar, you're doing some flips and you're catching the bar again, and the crowd really loves it. And it's the most entertaining event for the crowd to watch. And, you know, when you stick your dismount and everyone cheers, it's a great feeling.
Can you describe the most complicated gymnastics move you have?
I guess it would be what's called a Liukin. It's on the horizontal bar, and I flip myself over the bar and I do a full twist and I catch it again after releasing it. And I think that's one of my more difficult skills in my high bar routine.
What's the most important attribute of a world-class gymnast? Is it strength, balance, dealing with fear? What would you say?
I would say willpower. You have to have a lot of willpower.
Over what?
Over everything. Over fear. You know, sometimes you come into the gym and your body hurts and you've been doing routines day in and day out and you're not going to feel your best all the time. And those are the days that are most important, because those are the days that if you can get work done and you can get your routines done the way you want them to, then any other day is going to feel even better. Because if you can get something done on the days where you feel horrible and you feel like you don't want to be there, sick, and your muscles are sore, and if you can really push through that and get what you're supposed to be done in the gym, then that really shows character, and it really shows that you're willing to push yourself and you're willing to get through all the adversities that comes with gymnastics.
So willpower. Your mom told our producer that her phone hasn't stopped ringing with you coming home to town, and there's a big article about you in the Wall Street Journal today. We didn't even know that was coming when we scheduled you to come on the show. How do you like all the attention?
I mean, it's great. I'm trying to take it all in and really, you know, commence with it. But at the same time, I'm trying to make sure that I stay focused for the competition also and try to make this routine and, you know, really get into the competition and not be distracted so much by all the media attention and everything, even though it's great. But I still have to, you know, do what I have to do in the gym also.
Absolutely. You went to public high school in Soundview. What did your schoolmates make of having a world-class gymnast in class with them?
I think at the beginning, it wasn't really understood by a lot of the student friends that I had in school. And but now that I'm heading into this Olympic year, I think my classmates and everyone is starting to realize, like, this isn't just, you know, any gymnast from, you know, anywhere. It's a pretty big deal, you know? And my classmates, they don't, not really informed about gymnastics over here a lot. And so I think they're starting to get the whole picture, and they're really starting to congratulate me and really getting into it during this Olympic year.
Have you competed at Madison Square Garden before? Will that have a special meaning for you as a New Yorker?
Yeah, it will. I've never ever competed at Madison Square Garden. And I remember coming to the Madison Square Garden American Cup in 2004 and watching the athletes compete. And now that I get to compete in the same competition that I was watching, you know, not even, and it's pretty crazy, you know?
I'll bet. So yeah. Last question. Is there a particular food you're going to be sure to get while you're back home in the Bronx?
Definitely. I'm actually going to go out in a few minutes to get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Can't get that in Colorado?
How about that?
You can't get that in Colorado?
No, not like they make it here in my neighborhood.
Not like your favorite bodega. We'll have to leave it there. Good luck in the competition this weekend, John Orozco, and we're really hoping to be able to root for you in London this summer.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, thanks for listening today. Coming up next on the Leonard Lopate Show, right after the news, David Brock and Ari Raben-Hoft from the liberal media organization Media Matters describe how Fox News has changed. And the BBC series A History of the World and 100 Objects looks at a stone version of a belt worn by players of a Mesoamerican ball game. And on the Backstory series, Jeremy Scahill from The Nation talks about his recent trip to Yemen. The Leonard Lopate Show, coming up right after the news here on WNYC.